thank you. I would like to apologize for the long title. And so, Sonia, does this mean we're not allowed to say anything wrong in our talks, or at least not to write up something wrong? Okay. So I try to keep my numbering as good as Professor Blasius yesterday, even though I won't make it to 14. But I do want to start with an introduction. So one issue is certainly the problem of explicitly constructing of green currents or green functions for devices. Green, well, I guess in our case they're only green functions for devices. Say, nice ones, the ones Tong Hai talked about, so nice ones. In locally symmetric spaces associated to the group OP2. And in fact, if P is equal to 1, then we're exactly in the situation from this morning. So I guess there are several people who have done this. The first one is, well, Skutlam, at least for 1,2 and then later, in general case. So, and his starting point was his joint work with John Milson. Was concerned with the special cycles as generating series. For modular forms. And from there on they went on to show their things about arithmetic degrees. As the derivatives of Eisenstein series as coefficients of modular forms. So so this gave rise to the collaboration with Rappaport and Yang. And in particular, at least for the Archimedean part, they made essential use of the Borchardt's lift. Now, then I get, then we had the work of Oda Suzuki, who wrote down certain ingenious Poincaré series to construct these green functions. And then there's the work of Bonnier, who used the Borchardt's lift, or the extension, his extension of the Borchardt's lift. And in terms of Arcado theory, this then gave rise to the collaborative work with Borgos and Kuhn. And I suppose we should also mention this Kramer, who for the development of the general theory, so BBKK, so the 4 or 5 papers of this by now, or at least preprints, or almost preprints. Now, in any case, from the Borchardt's lift, from Borchardt's and also Bonnier, they also came up with Kuttner-Milson-like generating series. And then Jan Bonnier and I started to wonder what the relationship is between these two lifts. And the story I would like to tell today is what this relationship is. So this is then joint work with Jan Bonnier. The general structure for the talk will be, I first will introduce some general notation and introduce the special cycles. Then I will say something about the Kuttner-Milson lift, the basics of that. Then I will say something about the Borchardt's lift in the form which will be very suitable for us today. And then I will state then our results and give some indication of the proof. And then at the very end, hopefully when we have time, I'll also say something about how one can use this for other cases. So the one, we are now at two. Nah, we don't. Have I used here 1, 2, 3 already? Let's make this a Roman one. So let's see. So I take a quadratic space over Q of signature P comma Q. So this will be more general than here in the setting of the introduction. Certainly note that only for Q equals to 2 we have an Hermitian structure, and therefore we can look at the local symmetric spaces as the connected component of the complex points of the Schumacher variety. Certainly for general Q, I don't have this interpretation, but nevertheless, the questions are still relevant in that general setting as well. So I have signature P comma Q. So let me see. So then I let G be the connected component of the real points, of the orthogonal group of the real points of V, and in there I have a maximal compact so that my symmetric space D is the quotient of G by K, and recall that I can realize D as a collection of all Q planes in V. Where am I? Such that the quadratic form is negative definite when restricted to Z. And maybe sometimes I will refer to this as D P comma Q. What else do I need? Well, I suppose I need a lattice L in V. Even lattice, and probably so that everything is absolutely correct, what I will talk about today, to avoid some technicalities, L should be unimodular, but I'm not really making this assumption now. Just pretend everything would be fine, and in fact for Q odd, everything what I will tell today strictly would be empty, but let's ignore this as well. Okay, so L is an even lattice, so then gamma would be some subgroup in the stabilizer of the lattice in G with finite index. Do I need anything else? Yes, and then certainly X will be my locally symmetric space, where mod out D by gamma. And then I can define my special cycles. the same way as Tonghai this morning. So I take an x in V of positive length, and then look at dx, which is the collection of all points in D, which are orthogonal to x. And this is a subsymmetric space for p minus 1 comma q. And, well, and if gamma x is the stabilizer of x in gamma, well, then I can look at zx, which is the quotient of dx by gamma x, and then if I project it to, can project it to x. And then the composite cycle, again, Tonghai wrote this down as well, so cycle, so instead of t I use n, positive integer, so then I look at all, and this is zn, sum of all x in L of length n, note this by this, and gamma x on this with finally many orbits, and then c of x. So these are the objects we're interested in, and with this I can go to 3, hopefully I won't make it to 10, further no, I don't know my Roman numbering. So the good number from left. So, in short, this is in particular an explicit construction of a theta series associated to a Schwarz form phi km, where Z, what is in D, tau to U plus IV in the upper half plane, and phi km is a Schwarz function on V with values in the differential Q form of D. And in fact, they're closed. And then by averaging out the theta series, this is actually then gamma invariant. So this is a non-holomorphic modular form of some level, I don't care, form of weight P plus Q divided by 2, and let me call this weight once and for all kappa. So, in my notation board, kappa will be always P plus Q divided by 2. Happen, and the values are exactly with values in ZQX. Okay, so, and the main property of this is that values in there, such that what lambda km of some differential form eta, and that is given by integrating eta against the theta function, such that this is a holomorphic modular form. Of weight kappa, and eta here is a differential p minus 1 times q form on x with compact support. And moreover, the Fourier expansion of this, well, has the nice property that the nth Fourier coefficient is exactly the period of eta over the cycle CN. Oops. So, which means to say that the nth Fourier coefficient of this theta function is exactly a Poincaré dual form for the cycle CN. So, that means, and I don't want to say what the constant coefficient is for QR, it vanishes. Otherwise, it gives you a volume term. So what we then therefore have, that the Kuttner-Milzmann is, certainly factors through cohomology. Well, gives you a modular form of weight kappa for some group say gamma prime, but I really don't want to worry about the constant coefficient, so I immediately project this down to the space of cusp forms. So for the purposes of this talk, there exists no Eisenstein series. So we have a map from the cohomology of compact support into the Eisenstein series of weight kappa. All right. And the map is nice in that sense, that the Fourier expansion is very pleasant. Well, where am I? 3, 4. What about the Borchardt's lift? Well, for the Borchardt's lift, it's again a theta lift, or a singular theta lift. For this, I need to digress for a moment and need to explain what kind of input I allow for the Borchardt's lift. And so I have to briefly explain what I mean by a weak mass form. Already see Jim complaining in his head because he doesn't like the term. Yeah. So we let K be 2 minus kappa. That is will be the weight of the weak mass forms. So let's write this up here in our notation board. So K always will be 2 minus kappa, and when p plus q are sufficiently big, this is negative, and unless we are in the case Tonghai was talking, and nevertheless, I will always refer to k as a negative weight, even though it might be 0 or 1/2. So for the purposes of this talk, 0 and 1/2 are negative. So for this negative weight, so then I define a weak mass form F. So is a function F on the upper half plane to the complex numbers. Such that, well, first of all, should be automorphic for some group of weight k, so f some group requirement SO2Z of weight K. So really of negative weight, then it should be killed by the Laplace operator of weight K. And thirdly, so this explains the term mass forms. And thirdly, well, it's actually not an automorphic form in the strict sense because I allow exponential growth at the cusps. So at infinity, that means that f of tau is O of e to the cv for some cm, where tau is u plus iv. Do I still need this? Maybe for a moment I don't continue here. So this is in a sense a quite basic space, and you can wonder what is this good for, and it will turn out to be it is good for something at least. But to my knowledge, nobody ever has looked at this. Maybe it's certain functions in there, but not in a systematic fashion. Well, note that, so I call this space HK. Maybe here. With regards to space HK and the H stands for Hedgehog, who constructed certain Poincaré series which are exactly in this space. And, well, we certainly do know certain forms which are in there, namely the ones which are actually holomorphic on the upper half plane. So we have a subspace MK, which I call now MK Schwieg, in there, which consists of the ones which are holomorphic on H. Now, so what is this space good for? Well, first of all, you will see in a second there. Well, Hedgehog constructed the Poincaré series, which are non-holomorphic, so there are elements in there which are not holomorphic. So the space is good for because you can, it's good for the following. You can define for F in HK, you define the map CK of F. Well, you take F, you look at this complex conjugate, multiplied with the imaginary part to the kth power. This turns out to be has weight negative k, and then you apply the mass raising operator to it. Mass raising operator. So negative k plus 2 is exactly kappa. So this is something which has weight kappa, and it turns out to be actually to be holomorphic. So you get a map CK from HK into the forms of positive weight, but you might have poles at the cusps. Well, and so this is a little big. So we define, we put HK plus to be the inverse image of the cusp forms of positive weight under this map. And note that the holomorphic guys here of negative k, of weight k, are exactly the kernel of that map. So, and now we have the first theorem, which will make everything work. And that is the bilinear pairing. Oh, so that map is, by the way, antilinear. Of course, you look at that bar. So, the and therefore the bilinear pairing between S kappa and H K plus defined by, well, you take a cusp form of positive weight, take a weak mass form of negative weight, well, you apply our map C to F, so you'll get a positive guy, and then you look at the Pedersen scalar product of weight kappa for this. So this is certainly well defined. It gives you bilinear pairing. This pairing is non-degenerate. It's non-degenerate. Well, no, it is certainly degenerate because I have a kernel, but if I model the kernel, then it's non-degenerate. So induces non-degenerate pairing between H K plus modulo the holomorphic guys with S kappa. This is exactly what I need. So to speak, what I have a duality. That's the dual space S K. S kappa is exactly H plus K modulo M sheet. All right. Now, what do I need here? All right, this goes. And now it turns out to be that my space H plus is exactly the proper input for the Borchert system. I'm still, I think, in 4, so B, the Borchert selection. So there, I look at the, so, and this is only defined for signature P, 2. So I consider the theta series, well, the standard Ziegler theta series, theta z tau phi 0, where phi 0 is the standard Gaussian on V. Well, so this is a modular form, non-holomorphic of weight. So this is weight, let me see, P minus 2 divided by 2. So what is that? So that's P half minus 1. And if you look at my notation, this is exactly negative K. Well, when you have something of weight negative k, then you can multiply it with something of weight k. You get something SL, well, say gamma prime invariant, and then you can integrate it against each other, so against the invariant measure. And this is exactly the Borchert list. So we define the Borchardt's lift. Phi B of Z of F, so for F weak mass form, by, well, so take a fundamental domain. Take my Ziegle theta series and integrate it against F. Invariant measure. And for those of you who like this better as a Pedersen scalar product, this is scalar product against V to the K F bar for the weight negative K. Now there's only one problem with this, that doesn't converge. So you need to regularize the integral, and this is exactly what Borchardt did. And I will not describe how the regularization works. And this leads to logarithmic singularities along the special cycles. Logarithmic singularities along, well, let me call this ZF, and that is a certain linear combination of special cycles. So something to the history. So Borchardt looked at this for F holomorphic, so in M shriek. No, so this for F holomorphic. Whereas Bonnier looked at this for F being Hedgehog-Poincaré series. But he didn't look, but so far nobody has considered this as a map where the input are the weak mass forms. So that's sort of the, besides this duality, the new point, what I'm saying today, the systematic consideration of the Borchardt as a map of the weak mass forms. Well, let me see, what else do we need? Well, there are certain properties which Borchardt and Bonnier showed. The first one is, at least the ones we will need today, is if you define lambda b to be of ZF to be, well, you apply DDC to phi B. Then it turns out to be that the singularities of this additive Borchardt lift go away, and this actually is a smooth, extends to a smooth 1,1 form on my locally symmetric space. So defining this extends smoothly to an element in Z 1,1 of X. That's the first property. And in fact, this boy is exactly a green function for the cycle, ZF. In fact, there's a green CF. And thirdly, well, what happens if your input was holomorphic to start with? If you apply DDC, well, so for F and M shriek, and then lambda B of ZF is actually, well, essentially vanishes. You pick up the constant term of F times omega, where omega is the Kähler form on D. That's the constant coefficient. And in fact, this follows from non-trivial work of this. You have to they show this by computing the Fourier expansion, and then when you apply DDC, you can see that this is the only term which survives. So this is actually work in their theory. We will see later that from the relationship to the Kudlow-Mitzvah, this comes almost for free. So what we therefore have, well, so therefore the Borchardt's lift is something which goes from HK plus modulo the holomorphic ones, well, you know, they essentially get killed, well, into the closed 1-1 forms, so in particular into the second cohomology. Then I have to divide out the class which is coming from the Kähler form. So modulo the class. And now you see, in this setting, that the both maps essentially go in opposite directions. And they are certainly paired in classical Dirac pairing. And this are paired by row pairing here. So the maps go in opposite directions. So the theorem will be that the two maps are adjoined. Where am I in my numbering? 5? 6? 5. Huh? No, I'm not at 14. I can't. This is too much. 5, huh? Good. So we have the theorem. Lambda Km, lambda B are adjoint. So, i.e., so to be more precise, as two forms, on X we have, well, lambda B ZF, well, is the same as, well, you take the Kudlow-Mielsen theta series, and integrate it against Xi, CK, and this is the Pedersen scalar product. Well, and then you get this error term. Of the Kähler form. And moreover, this factors through cohomology. So this pairing. This is a jointness. And note that these property 1 and 3 now come for free for the Borchardt's lift, because if F is holomorphic to start with, well, then this is 0, so this isn't there, so then you have the quality in 3. And moreover, in general, because this is always a smooth 2-form on X, and this is a smooth 2-form on X, so therefore this is a smooth 2-form. So properties 1 and 3 now therefore come for free. Whereas for particular for 3, if you go through the Fourier expansion of the Borg sieve, you actually have to work hard. Well, let me give you some indication of the proof. So we have these two lifts, and they're both with the two different theta kernels. One is coming from the Siegel, classical theta function. The other one is coming from the phi km. So we need to relate these two Schwarz functions, and this is done in the following theorem. And this is the key property of the proof. Well, if you take the lowering operator, the mass lowering operator now, and apply it to the Kotler-Milson guy. So that's mass lowering. Well, so this is an SL2 operation. And on the other hand, you apply DDC to the standard Gaussian. Well, then they turn out to be the same. Well, almost, there's a negative sign. And this is the relationship which makes everything work. And for this, it's most convenient to go to the Fock model of the wave representation, and there it becomes a nice and pleasant calculation with polynomials. So we use this, we use the Fock model. And then, once you have that, the proof goes roughly as follows. So we start with this here. Well, so remember, so that was the raising operator to V to the KF bar. That is some scalar product. So what you would like to use is, so you dance around with the differential operators, you would like to use the adjointness to shift the raising operator to the left and make there it becomes the lowering operator. So let's do that. Well, then it's, what is that, F? Okay, F bar. The only problem is that doesn't converge anymore. So you have to regularize this so that the quality sort of holds. In particular, after you regularize this, this starts to have singularities along the special cycles. This was smooth. So in fact, you pick up this error term, and this error term is exactly coming from the Kähler form. What we are just doing here, the basic idea. Well, and the raising and the lowering operator, there's a negative sign in the adjointness. Well, so you're sort of this equality, but you have to be very careful. By the way, the word model is spelled with one L, isn't it? So then, use our main property. So therefore, it becomes DDC of theta to phi 0, V to the KF bar. Well, and then you want to pull out the DDC, and then you again have to be careful about the singularities. After all, there is the regularization here. So you have to check whether you can. You guys having fun? Glad I'm able to entertain you. So you pull this out. this is exactly what the Borsch observer was. So as nice as this looks, if you actually carry this out and worry about the details, it's quite elaborate and a little messy. But this is the basic idea of the proof. Now, I still have enough time. What can you use this for? Well, pardon? Thank you. Yeah, you're reading my mind. So, one thing you can use this for is for Borchardt's lift for general signature P, Q. So, the point is here, well, in his paper, he does look at regularized theta integrals for arbitrary signature, but he doesn't do much with it. He only uses this in the hyperbolic case in order to, and in the definite case in order to produce, compute the Fourier expansion, but there's not much usage of the Borchardt's lift for the other signatures, and in particular, there they have hardly any geometric interpretation. But now the point is, we would like to have a Borchardt's lift with a similar geometric interpretation, the signature as well. Well, we have a little bit less structure because we have no complex structure, no tube domain, but still, there should be something, and indeed there is. So that proof would almost work the same fashion. We need an analog of this theorem here in part A. And then if we use this, instead of phi zero something else as the input for the, as the kernel function for the Borchardt's lift, then we would get some nice properties and some, again, geometric properties of the of this new Borchardt's lift. And indeed, there is one. Just start to dig up in Kuttler-Milson again. So in there you find a theta function tau psi, where psi is a q minus 1 form. Q minus 1 form. And the whole thing, again, has weight negative k. And the decisive property is such that, well, if you apply the lowering operator to phi km, remember that existed in all signatures, then this is d of psi, which is the exact analog of the phi zero. Well, you have that ddc. In fact, for signature p, 2, which I don't rule out here, then the psi there is exactly negative dc phi zero. My intuitions have to go. Well, and then this is exactly the kind of thing you want to use as the kernel function for the Borchardt's lift. And note now, no kernel function for the Borchardt's lift is now no longer scalar valued. It's not the Gaussian anymore. It has no take values in the Q minus 1 forms on X. And so that's another new feature of this Borchardt's lift. So we plot B psi to be, well, times F d mu for F in H Kiplung. Well, and then by the same proof, you have to worry about the same, what the issues here again, you get immediately the adjointness to the Kuttler-Milson lift. So it's almost tautological because you define the Borchardt's lift so that it works. But then again, you need to, in order to get these kind of things, you need to look for the right kernel function. So, and that is it. That's it. So So we get the theorem. Ah, wait, yeah. I guess lambda b psi, which is negative d of this guy, phi b psi, and lambda km are adjoint in the sense as above. So this is equal to this, and for q even, you get an error term. So, by the way, certainly this integral doesn't converge, so you need to regularize it. And the singularities you get are polynomial singularities of degree q minus 1. Oh. Theorem. Psi has polynomial singularities along a certain cycle ZF. If F is holomorphic, again, lambda B psi essentially vanishes. Well, modulo something. And maybe most importantly, so it turns out to be that this is locally integrable. So so you consider it as a current. Thirdly, so as a current, one has that D of phi b psi of F plus the delta current for the cycle associated to F, that this gives you a theta function for the Kuttner-Mosen lift integrated against F. Oops. This is the Borsch's lift. This is the Pedersen scalar product. So in particular, this means that this new Borsch's lift defines a differential character for the cycle ZF in the sense of Cheeger-Simons. So, and then for signature p, 2, you immediately also get that the classical Borchardt's lift is in fact the Green's function for the special cycles. Well, you would have gotten this from other consideration as well, but it pops out here. Cool. Well, so what can you do with this? Besides this being nice in the first place, so implications, outlook. Well, the first thing is, so for p, 2, remember in the theory of Kuttler, Rappaport, and Yang, and also by some results and work of, what's this now, Bonnier, Borgos, and Kuhn, the arithmetic degree of cycles should involve the derivative of certain Eisenstein series, at least so both calculations on the Archimedean part involve the Borchardt's lift, and I can give a new proof using this theorem. maybe not new in the sense it uses ideas from both, in the sense it unifies both approaches. So there's a unifying, whatever that means, proof of the occurrence of the derivative of derivatives. Weisenstein series. Series for the, well, let's say conjecturally. Guess we only know this now, strictly speaking, in the Hilbert modular case and in and the Shimokov case. So this is, I thought Borges, Bonnier, and Kuhn did the Hilbert modular case, or in the process of doing this. So this is what. Oh, you guys not aware of this? Pardon? Yeah, I don't have paper yet. So they're in the process of doing this. A preprint. No, I don't have anything in written either for the conjecturally arithmetic volume. The special cycles. Oh. What else can you do with this? Well, another point is, so far there doesn't exist a Borchardt's Lift for the unitary group, UPQ. And that is certainly, would be in particular attractive to construct green counts in that case, because well, there would no longer be necessarily divisors as for OP2. And also there, we know more about, say, integral models. So, you know, it seems to be that for OP2, there are several things not known, in a sense, technical. So there, we'll look at the dual pair UPQ, of course, U11, and this is essentially SL2. So you can use as an input space for the Borchardt's Lift still our H+. The point is, you need to find the proper kernel function. Well, and then the starting point for this would be, again, you start with the Kutler-Mertzon lift, which exists in that case. So the major thing you have to do is you have to solve, when you apply the Lorentz operator to phi km, you have to again solve the equation, the DDC equation for this, say for psi tilde. However, the psi already exists. So you're already here, so you only have to solve dc psi tilde is equal to psi, but then if something is d exact, and so then it's ddc exact, so the solution exists, and I was hoping that I can actually announce that I've already did it, but I also got lost in the calculation, the Fock model, so this has to wait till next week. But that would be very nice. In particular, the cycles here would be no longer divisors, but it would have complex codimension Q. So I'm quite optimistic to get a Borchardt's Lift for the unitary case going as well. And then lastly, I'm currently in the process of developing a theory together with John Milton for cycles with coefficients. And Ramesh, unfortunately, couldn't make it this afternoon, asked for the higher weight case. So that would basically mean you would need to do something with, so in the char group with coefficients, with non-trivial coefficients. So it seems to suggest that we need a Borchardt's Lift for coefficients. So and with the philosophy of this talk should be whenever there's a Kutler-Mertzon lift or something analogous to this, then there's a Borchardt's Lift. So we are in the process of producing phi, well, let's call them FMs, which should do this for you, and then the idea is here would give you a Borchardt's Lift with coefficients. Coefficients. And then maybe to wrap this up, there's certainly a more substantial problem. This seems to be things which should go through well, with some pain, but should be achievable, at least for me at the moment. What might be more difficult, or is more difficult, to get green currents in the OP2 case with higher codimensions. And that would mean we would need to get a Borchert's lift for the symplectic, with symplectic input. But there you run into the problem, when you have negative weight, there's this, the Kircher principle in your way. You don't have any, at least holomorphic modular forms of, Ziegler modular forms of negative weight. So, however, we think it's not hopeless. After all, we already got away from the holomorphic things and looked at this, and our proof of the of this duality, well, I didn't say anything that was about this, certainly not too surprising, boiled down to said duality, so into a more algebraic geometric setting, and so we have some idea which could work, or an idea of an idea. It's not hopeless, but I wouldn't be able to say anything more than that at this moment. Thank you.